Welcome back to the Running Deep podcast. I am so excited to talk about this topic and introduce you to a very special guest that I have this month. Today, we're going to talk about who God is and the foundations of our faith. And I have asked a very special guest to join us this month. And I would like to introduce you to Jake, or I should say Dr. Jacob Herring.
No, that's not. That's not true, technically.
Not yet. Yeah. Almost. Next year, you'll be Dr. Jacob Herring.
You've overhyped this already.
So Jake is my husband, for those of you who don't know that. We've been married for almost 16 years, which is crazy.
15 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So the reason why I asked Jake to join me today was because when I thought about the topic being who God is and some foundational truths of our faith, I thought, who in my life has taught me the most about this topic? And there were several names that came to mind.
And John Piper was not available.
One name. So. Okay, he was one name that came to mind. Yeah. But
he's got a busier schedule.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But your name came to mind that you've taught me a lot about who God is. And so I thought it'd be fun to have you join me on the women's podcast.
Yeah.
Normally we have women, but I think you've been the only male on this podcast.
Okay.
So
I'm a listener too.
Welcome.
I do listen
back.
I do listen in the background. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, this is your second time on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you did one probably 3 years ago with me on loss and grief. So if you haven't checked that one out, you can dig deep in the podcast and find that one. But today, our topic at hand is, who is God?
Do I not get a fun question?
Before we do that.
Okay. There is a fun question.
Yes.
Oh, good. I was that's what I was going to ask you before we started. And then I was like, oh, I'll find out.
Okay.
Man. Okay. All right. Sorry. I jumped the gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man. Before we do that, your icebreaker question is, if you could have an extra sense, like out of your five senses, if you could have one that was like extraordinary, like superpower, which one would it be?
So just so I'm clear, is this...
This is not a superpower question.
Yeah, yeah. No,
is... Because you've already shared that.
Is this a, like a... another sense, or is this of the current senses that I have, this one is particularly pronounced?
Well, I was thinking of your current senses, but tell me both.
I think of my current senses. Well, okay, so the most practical answer I could probably give is heightened eyesight. And part of that is because I feel as though I once had that, and now I don't as much. So it would be nice to not have to ever wear glasses. I would prefer that. So I don't know that that's a real...
Would you want, like, hawk vision?
Maybe, yeah. I'd like to not squint while I'm driving at night. That, ideally, that... But
that's a problem.
That's pretty practical, you know. I don't know. It's hard for me to know which one I would want more, smell or taste. I feel like my hearing's pretty good, so I would maybe have a heightened version of smell or taste, whichever one contributes to taste more. And that's where I don't know. I know that they interact with each other. So maybe taste, because there's a lot of things that I don't smell that I'd perhaps still want to not be able to smell, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I was thinking it could be problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Your second question, because I know you want to have the first 10 minutes of this be just banter, but so to your other question, the sense that humans don't currently have, but could have. I've always liked the scene in The Dark Knight where he's in the bunker with Morgan Freeman. I forget his character's name, right? And they've triangulated all of the cell phone signals and all that stuff, and he can see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's up on the screens? Like, he's able to hear all the conversations, but also see.
Yeah.
All, like, through things in a way where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what what superpower that is, or at least Batman. I mean, I think Batman's the most attainable of the superheroes because there's nothing inherently in him that's spectacular.
Right.
It's all of his gadgets, you know?
Yeah.
So it seems as though if you get enough money, you could maybe become Batman, whereas no amount of money would make you fly.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Those are
good answers.
We can keep talking about this.
I honestly, the reason why I asked you this, I don't even remember what book I was reading. This was a while ago, so I don't remember which book it was, but they were talking about heaven, mm-hmm. and they were talking about, like, the glorification aspect of, like, our bodies, and they were kind of, or maybe it was on the Knowing Faith podcast, I don't know, it all meshes together, but they were talking about, like, who knows, maybe we'll have, like, glorified senses or new senses. What?
Yeah.
I've never thought about that.
Like, I don't know. I think I've heard something similar. I don't know if
I'm not saying that's what thing. I'm not saying that's biblical, or it was just more like dreaming, like kind of in the category of, like, will there be different pets in heaven?
Or talking dolphins.
Talking dolphins. Talking animals.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
I don't know either. Talking glorified animals.
Talking glorified animals. Judah would lose his mind.
Yeah.
So, topic at hand. Hard shift.
Segue.
So, just to catch you up, I know you do listen to some of the podcasts, but for someone who's just jumping in at this episode, so this school year we've been talking about discipleship, and the thought of it is, if you were to lead someone to the Lord, they put their faith in the Lord, and then they look to you and say, now what? Mm. I don't think that we have a lot of resources yet at Candeo that we have helped our people know exactly what to go through with someone other than, hey, join me and as I grow with Jesus and jump into my connection group and equipping classes. Those are all helpful things. But we wanted to just talk about different topics that maybe you would sit down with a friend who's a new believer or an immature believer and say, hey, let's listen to this podcast and let's talk about these topics together. Mm. This is just a resource that can help you grow. So think about it through that lens of if you're talking to a new believer or maybe a believer that's been a believer for a long time but really just hasn't been discipled or grown a lot in their faith, and they just want to know, okay, what are some foundational truths about God and my faith that I need to know or would be helpful for me to know in order to continue to grow me into the likeness of Christ. Mm-hmm. Today I was reading in Ephesians 4 and I was caught by the topic of how he talks about us being like children, and then it talks about us growing into the likeness of Christ. And so we have that ability to grow. We're not all stuck where we're at. And so this is just an aspect of growing. So where would you start if someone said, what do I need to know about who God is?
Yeah, I mean, I think your premise is right. Like, when we first come to faith, we're really entering into a relationship with someone, you know. And so I think it was Tozer who said the first thing that comes to mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you. And so it's like, where do I start in discipleship? It really is like, start with who God is, you know? And so, yeah, understanding or at least beginning to understand. And this was, I was even thinking about this morning, where it's like, man, a conversation about God is an inexhaustible topic. Mm-hmm. And so there's a sense where everything you, even the smartest theologian or theologians, you know, the sum total of all of their compiled works on who God is just scratching the surface of who God actually is. You know, it's like, take all of the theological work that's happened in human history before this point and in the future, and it's at best a scratch and sniff sticker version of who God is, right? It's like, it smells like strawberries, but it's not strawberries. Right. But it's as close as we can, you know. Now, that isn't to be frustrating in one sense, because it's not as though God is hiding himself. It's just that he's so infinite and inexhaustible that a human lifetime of exploring the depths of who God is just a few seconds in terms of eternity, in terms of what we could actually know, you know. And so, and because God is infinite, I really do think that, you know, I don't know if we'll have more senses in heaven or if, you know, dolphins can talk, but I do think there's something about the infinite nature of God that means that even though we will be glorified in heaven, that doesn't mean that we are gods, right? Like, we are still creation, worshiping an infinite God. And so I do think that it will take an eternity. I think we will continue to be discovering in greater depth and degree and even category the nature of who God is, the infinite nature of who God is, for all of eternity. Like, which is to say, when we get to heaven, we're not going to spend the first, you know, 10 years of eternity kind of getting a lay of the land.
Like a get to know you.
Yeah.
10 years.
And like, now we've, you know, now everything's normal. Yeah. And it's just regular. And like, I think it's going to be more this just continual amazement of discovering new aspects of the glory of God for all of eternity.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, so when you talk about, you know, who is God, I think that's one thing that's really helpful is one, it's like, and because of that, God's not boring, right? And so I think like the eternal nature of God is one thing that's really important to understand in that sense. And so therefore it's like, there's always something new to learn about who God is. And because of that, there's always an opportunity to marvel and worship God for the fact that he would choose us and save us in Jesus Christ. Because the more we learn about God and his eternality, he existed from eternity past in full happiness and glory, and simply for the sake of his own good pleasure and his own glory, he chose to create. There was nothing in God that needed to create humanity other than his own gracious and loving desire to share himself.
Now, when you, I'm going to have you back up a little bit, because this made me think of it. I was talking to a gal last week, and we got on the subject of heaven and what do we picture when we picture heaven? And she was talking about when she was a kid, she had this picture of heaven, and we were both kind of similar in one sense, but like God on his throne and like envisioning almost like a old man on his throne with this light around him. I remember I was probably older than I should have been when I realized that God is spirit. Like God the Father is spirit. When we talk about God the Father. So explain that a little bit. Like, when someone's saying, like, okay, who is God? Are we talking about God the Father? Are we talking about the Trinity? And maybe categorize for us, like, if we're not talking about just God the Father, what are they?
Yeah, yeah. So God, so like the theological term for that is that God is triune, right? You might have seen that, you know, before, that that kind of Celtic three circles unifying together in the middle, right? And so, like, God is triune. That, and what that means is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One in essence, three in persons. That's like the language that that the church has used for thousands of years to describe this interaction between the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. And so we see that in a variety of ways throughout Scripture. The word Trinity doesn't show up in Scripture, but the concept does. And so, yeah, simply because a term in and of itself doesn't show up in the Bible doesn't make it unbiblical.
Right.
It just means that it's a term that's used to summarize or portray a broader set of things that are shown in Scripture. So God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about God, we're talking about, like, the one in essence, right? And so, but then it is helpful, you know, as you read through Scripture to see, is there a particular, is there a specific person of this triunity that is being referred to here, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? And it's helpful to understand that it's like the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And at the same time, the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father. And so this is where theologians for a long time have tried to greater or lesser degrees find ways to portray the Trinity that end up really in pretty much all of their manifestations end up being incomplete.
So like water.
Water, yeah.
Like an ice cube.
Ice, mist. Liquid gas.
Yeah, yeah, or an egg.
Right, yeah.
Those are a couple examples.
Yeah, and there's one sense where it's like, I don't get too grumpy about it when you're trying to explain it to a child. But I will say, I'm very hesitant to try to find physical examples of describing the supernatural nature of God as Trinity. Because I think, taken to their end, a lot of these examples, whether it's water or an egg or whatever you want to, even light has been used, you know, they built within them is something that is fundamentally unhelpful. And so I think it might have been J.T. English or might have been Kyle Worley that said something to the effect of, heresy can often come from trying to over-explain what is a mystery.
Yeah.
And so that's where, I know we're getting a little bit in the weeds when it comes to the Trinity here, but yeah, so when we're talking about God, it's like God is one in essence, three in persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay. So God the Father is Spirit.
Yes.
God the Son is physical. He had a human body here. What about in heaven?
So is this before the incarnation or after the incarnation?
So
Father, Son, Holy Spirit existed in eternity past as Spirit.
All Spirit.
All Spirit. God the Son. Until the Son was incarnated as the person of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And then Jesus
Christ.
So
it wasn't
Christ,
like he was like a man up in heaven with a body, and then he became a baby again.
Right.
In Mary's womb, and then grew back into the man.
Yeah, God the Son became incarnate, which simply means that he took on human flesh, right? We see that in Philippians 2. And then ascended to the right hand of the Father in human flesh. And so, yeah, in up until the incarnation, God and each member of the Trinity was spirit, until God the Son took on human flesh as Jesus Christ
and ascended. And this is something that you and I have talked about, and I don't remember, it was fairly recent within the last 2 years that the ascension, mm-hmm. you know, when you talk about, you know, glorification, or when you talk about like God coming to earth, dying, being buried, rose again, we normally like stop there. Mm-hmm. But the ascension, like he rose again and he ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. Like that's so important. Because he ascended into heaven in human flesh, mm-hmm. so that we could be ascended, mm-hmm. or be with God in human flesh, although it's going to be like a glorified body. Mm-hmm. That just really blew my mind. So Jesus is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. So we've got like the Trinity, that was like a quick like walkthrough of the Trinity. But when we talk about God as a triune essence, what do they have as attributes that we could have or what we couldn't have? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the fancy word for this is incommunicable and communicable attributes.
Right.
So an incommunicable attribute is something that God has that we don't, mm-hmm. and we won't ever have. Mm-hmm. But communicable is like God is love. We can be loving.
Right.
So what are some characteristics of God that you think are important? Obviously, like you said, it's inexhaustible. Like we could talk for the rest of our life about mm-hmm. this, but what are some like basic ones?
I mean, are you talking both of those categories?
Let's start with incommunicable. Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably the one of the more fundamental ones is that God is uncreated. Mm-hmm. And we are created. I mean, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To say that God created these things is to also say that God is uncreated, mm-hmm. you know? And so we don't create ourselves in any sense, really, and not just a physical one, but even in terms of there's so much talk nowadays about identity and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, actually, according to the Bible, we don't even give ourselves our own identity.
Right.
That is given to us by God in a general sense that we're all created in the image of God, but then in a specific sense as it relates to discipleship and what is the ultimate purpose of our life, you know, which is to glorify God.
Right. And so to stop you on point one, like point one, your first attribute you say, you know, God is uncreated. That is a great example of why is it important to know who God is, mm-hmm. you know, because there's implications. Like,
yeah,
the implication that God is uncreated, we are created. Okay, that means, like, we don't get to decide who we are and our identity. God mm-hmm. has already decided that for us.
Well, similarly, we don't get to decide who God is.
Right.
Like we don't get to create a God in whatever image we want to, whether that be our image or any other image, you know. So God is uncreated. Mm-hmm. God is transcendent, which means that he is above all things in a way that we aren't. Mm. Right. And so he has all, like, and this is where you get into words like omniscient, you know,
omnipresent.
Omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows all things, is all powerful, is everywhere in ways that like that we aren't, you know. And that's perhaps one of the greatest, you know, struggles that we as humans face. I mean, this was the essence of the first sin, was humans trying to take upon themselves an attribute of God that was only meant to be true of God. Mm-hmm. It was the desire to know all things. It was the desire to be like God. Mm-hmm. That was the temptation, right? And so this is where you really could trace back a lot of our struggles today to, if you really get to the root of them, a lot of them actually stem from us trying to take on character, the incommunicable attributes mm-hmm. of the uncreated God, but to actually put those upon ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, social media makes us think that we can be omnipresent.
Our access, being everywhere.
Yeah. Our access to information from all around the world makes us think that we can be all-knowing. Mm-hmm. Our uses of technology and our advancements in technology can trick us into thinking that we actually are all-powerful.
Right.
You know, and this isn't to, you know, to just categorically demonize those things. Like, I think there are manifestations of all these things that are, you know, gracious gifts and can be used for good and all these things. But at the same time, perhaps it could be that the thing in the background that causes so many issues is actually that we think we have the power of God. We think we have the knowledge of God. We think we have the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And we actually don't. And we mm-hmm. were never actually meant to bear that weight, you know. And so it creates an incredible amount of anxiety mm-hmm. as we try to be God and we're not, you know. Yeah. So God is uncreated. We are created. God is all-knowing. We aren't all-knowing. God is everywhere. We can't be everywhere. God is all-powerful. We don't have all power, mm-hmm. you know. Like, God is unlimited. We are limited. Mm-hmm. God is infinite. We are finite, you know. So I think those are probably some of the big ones that, you know, if we wanted to go all Joe Rogan on this and make a 4-hour podcast, we could maybe begin to dive into the implications. But I think a lot of those are really helpful to recognize our limits as created human beings.
Well, and that, like what you just said, if you're interested in this specific topic, to like dig deeper into that, Jen Wilkin wrote a book several years ago called None Like Him, and she goes through 10 aspects of God that are incommunicable, aspects that none like him, like mm-hmm. it's just him that has these. And the chapter on, I think she just called it limitless, was just really mind-blowing for me and really helpful, because I don't have to tell you this because you know, but I struggle with limits. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to have limits. I don't want to have to say no. I don't want to have to be weak and say I can't do that or, mm-hmm. you know. But if we truly like embraced the fact that God is limitless and rest in that, it would really help us not struggle with anxiety or fear or, I mean, the list could go on and on. And so, again, like, if you today meditated on one of God's aspects that we talk about and think about, okay, what is the implication in my life for that? It really will change how you view God and mm-hmm. yourself. So None Like Him is a book that if you want to dig deeper into that specific topic, I would suggest that one. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the attributes of God that are incommunicable. What about some of God's aspects or characters that we can attain or God has created us mm-hmm. with?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably some of the clearest ones are the ones that we're called to embody in Scripture.
Right.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Like, the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. are not just things that we can attain or express or whatever, but they're actually gifts and outpourings of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. The only reason why a believer, and we'll get into this as we go through the book of Galatians here in the fall. Well, not the fall, just the end of spring into the summer, is like the only reason that we can ever express these things in a God-honoring way. That this isn't to suggest that unbelievers can't be loving or can't be kind or can't mm-hmm. be patient or can't be gracious or whatever it is, but it is to say that if it is not without the Holy Spirit, we can't do those things ultimately for the glory of God.
Mm.
Without the Holy Spirit, we can still express those things, but it will either be for the glory of ourselves or for the glory of the person that we're expressing that thing towards.
Mm.
And so that's what makes it a good expression, but not a God-glorifying one.
Sure.
And so it's only because of the Holy Spirit that we can actually express the fruit of the Spirit for the glory of God.
Mm.
And so I'd say all like the communicable attributes are the ones that, as we read through Scripture, that believers are called to express by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're looking for a list, I would honestly I'd start with the fruit of the Spirit list and then spend the rest of my life asking the Spirit to cause those fruit to continue to bud and flourish in my life, you know. And it'll take a lifetime to simply walk through that list.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And a lot of those similar lists are, you know, if you look to some of the epistles where you'll see like take off your old self, put off your old self and put on the new self, which is, and it'll give a list. Mm-hmm. And those are, a lot of them are very similar, but those are also good lists to look at and go, okay, God is all of these things. Mm-hmm. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Therefore, I can be these things mm-hmm. by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not to say we're going to be perfect in all of them, mm-hmm. but.
Well, I would say too, just, there are fruit of the Spirit that perhaps don't exist in a person's life before coming to Christ that mm-hmm. by the power of the Spirit he will cause to become true in that person's life. And there are plenty of other ones that may have already been present, but the reason they were present utterly changes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, someone could be a loving person before becoming a Christian. Absolutely. The reason that they're a loving person is utterly transformed
mm-hmm.
by the power of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That now the reason why I'm loving isn't because I want other people to think I'm loving. That's maybe a selfish reason. Or isn't because I'm loving towards these people because I so idolize them and lift them up in my life as God. I'm going to overlove them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now a loving person. I was loving before, but now I'm loving, but for a totally different reason,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it isn't to suggest that when you become a Christian, you know, categorically every one of these fruit didn't exist, but now they do. It is to say though, that even the ones that did exist before coming to Christ, the motivation for their expression is, or should be, and is totally transformed.
Yeah. Do you have you said, you know, you might have not had a characteristic or a fruit of the Spirit before you came to know the Lord. Did you have one in mind for yourself?
Well, I came to know Christ when I was 8.
Sure.
So I have a terrible memory, so it's hard for me to assess myself according to that. You know, I would say I think a budding fruit over time has perhaps been patience and gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of all the fruit, those tend to be the least natural for me, but they're all connected.
Yeah,
you know, so I don't want to so isolate them because that's also connected to love and
right.
peace and, you know, all those things. But yeah, so I think I've seen over time, and it's hard to assess ourselves. Yeah. This is why
having others
speak into that is more helpful. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So we've talked about who's the triune God and the incommunicable and communicable attributes. What else do you think would be important for a new believer to know?
I think the holiness of God is the basis for everything. I mean, if God is not holy, then sin's not a big deal. Then Christ didn't need to die. Then we don't, you know, like, there's so many. I mean, the glory of God, we talk a lot about the glory of God, you know, and our purpose is to glorify God. And, you know, and it's like, well, what is the glory of God? Well, it seems to be that the glory of God is his holiness put on display. Mm. Like, the brightness of God is his holiness, you know. That's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with, and instead of, you would expect it's filled with his holiness. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say that. It says it's filled with his glory. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, what is the glory of God? It's the manifestation of his holiness. Mm-hmm. And when we even begin to grapple with the holiness of God, we can't help but then begin to understand his otherness, how he is so unlike us. And it can be, and here's the hard part, and at the same time, we're called to call God Father, you know. And so this isn't to say, well, emphasize his holiness and therefore he becomes this distant, far off, you know, person. But it is to say, it's like no, when you recognize the holiness of God, your amazement that this holy God would provide a way for you to enter his presence and call him Father. Mm. You know, like, but what can happen is that we can so emphasize the friendliness of God, the love of God, the closeness of God, and even the fatherliness of, and all of these things are good and true for sure, but without the backdrop of the holiness of God, you end up neutering God of his power and his glory and his worthiness to be praised. And we can turn God into just a really nice other human.
Right.
Like, God can become God. We can turn God into the nicest person I can think of. Mm-hmm. When it's like, no, God is holy. And this holy God, though, has called you to call him Father, because he has washed you clean of your sin through Jesus Christ. You know, like, the cross loses its glory. The fatherhood of God loses its glory. So many other things about salvation and about who God is loses its glories if we don't recognize the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. Like, the holiness of God and the nearness of God. Those two things should not exist. Right? Mm. Like, the fact that God would make a way to be near to an unholy people makes absolutely no sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yet, he has, by the blood of his son. You know, so, anyways, so
well, do you
the
think,
holiness of God is huge.
I think you're right in today in Cedar Falls, Iowa, like, that is true of us. We need to be reminded of God's holiness, and we can so quickly jump to, like, oh, like, he's my best friend, you know. Mm-hmm. But do you think that's different in other cultures? Like, do you think other cultures maybe emphasize his holiness and almost like his distant, where you would need to emphasize? This is kind of a rabbit trail, but yeah. I don't know. Do you think, like, everyone tends to lean more towards like the loving.
The real answer is I don't know. You know, I tend to think, and I can only speak for the culture in which I live, right? So I don't know for sure exactly what other cultures might perhaps need as a counterbalance. Mm-hmm. Like, but I do think that it seems with the global nature of our world today, just technologically, the boundaries between countries and cultures mm-hmm. continue to not be as stark or far right. away. Like, you know what I mean? It does seem, I'll say this. It seems that the irreverence of the West tends to pollute the waters of the reverence of the rest of the world mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps there are other cultures that might see, you know, maybe they need the correction of God's imminence and mm-hmm. his nearness and all that kind of stuff. But I would be hesitant to try to counterbalance that too quickly, because it does seem as though, at least here in America, we have totally lost a sense of reverence. Mm-hmm. We've replaced reverence with relevance mm-hmm. and have turned Christianity into, I forget who said it this way, but it basically like moralistic therapeutic deism, mm-hmm. where God isn't God. God is a tool for my own emotional, spiritual, mental well-being. Mm-hmm. He's a religious pill that mm-hmm. I can take, and so long as he's giving me the benefits that it seems that he could bring, then I'm gonna be cool with God. But mm-hmm. the total sense of reverence seems almost entirely lost. Not entirely. I do think that there are certain even denominations that do this better mm-hmm. than many evangelicals. And so I don't know if that quite answers your question, yeah. but
no, I was just thinking out loud.
I'm more interested in squishing the irreverent entertainment,
yeah,
relevance driven culture of evangelicalism than I am in trying to correct an over reverence in maybe another culture or sure. even another denomination.
Yeah, no, that's good. So as we wrap up, is there anything else you would say is important? I know this was a big topic for a short podcast, but anything else you would add?
Yeah, I mean, I think real simply, if you're just beginning your walk with, and even if you're not just beginning your walk with Christ, like the temptation is to create, is to form God into our own image. Mm-hmm. That's the temptation. And the way that you fight against that is to see how God has revealed himself in his word. Mm-hmm. And then continue to compare what you think about God or what you believe about God to how has God revealed himself to me in his word. Mm-hmm. Because again, like we don't get to decide who God is. God is who he is, and in his grace has revealed himself to us in a primary way through his word.
Yeah.
And so we don't get to define who God is. We don't get to worship God however we want. God has told us how to worship him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so God has told us all of these things mm-hmm. In ways that aren't exhaustive for sure.
Right.
But are sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so we can know God. We can worship him in a way that pleases him. We may not be able to do it perfectly or mm-hmm. exhaustively, but he has given us enough in his word to know him, to worship him rightly. And so continue to let your understanding of who God is be shaped by how he has revealed himself and not how you wish him to be.
Mm, yeah. Which I would say, I was going to go into resources if you want, you know, to learn more about this topic. But one thing just coming out of that I would encourage you to do, if you haven't done this, no matter where you are in your walk with God, spend a year reading through the Bible. So pick whatever plan you want, read through the Bible, or it doesn't even have to be in a year. Normally when I try to read through the Bible, it takes me 2 or 3 years. Just start reading. Mm-hmm. But when you're reading, write in the margin if you are that type of person. Some people don't write in their Bibles. Write in your margin who God is based on this passage. So how has God revealed himself in this passage? And read with that lens through the whole Bible. And I think it will transform your walk with God, because you will see things about who God is that you've never thought about, you've never known. And it's okay to wrestle with some things, because you're going to read some things where it's like, oof, God doesn't seem fair right now, but okay, God is just, and I know that, you know. And so if you're wrestling with something that you see in Scripture, bring it to your community, read the Bible in community, talk to those who have gone a little bit ahead of you. But that's a really, like you're saying, like, go to the Scriptures and see how God has revealed himself, because he will reveal himself to you. Some other resources that I'd say, I already mentioned Jen Wilkins, None Like Him, J.I. Packer's
Knowing God.
Knowing God, yeah, thank you. That's a more...
I didn't want to like that book.
I know you didn't. Well, I read it first.
And the reason, it was a dumb reason, because it's so... Because everyone, you know, it's
that's
like,
just who you are.
Yeah, I was like, well, if this book is so popular, certainly it can't be good. You know, and then I read it, I was like, wow, it was great. So, Knowing God was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. So None Like Him is a shorter book. Knowing God is a longer book. But I would still say read it.
Oh, yeah.
Read it.
It's really devotional.
Yes.
And delightful. It doesn't read like a thick book.
No, and it's not at all. It's not even like a academic book. No. It is more like a devotional book.
Oh, yeah.
Of here is who God is and how does that apply to my life.
Yeah, it's really good.
Would there be any other resources that you would suggest?
Man, I don't know. It's hard to think of. I think the ones you mentioned are really good starting places. One book that was helpful a number of years ago was the Doctrine Matters book. It wasn't exclusively, you know, just about who God is, but it was basically a compilation of, I think, 10 maybe of John Piper's most maybe influential sermons. It's basically the edited transcripts of those sermons.
Yeah.
That goes through a variety of different doctrinal issues, but on God as well.
Yeah.
I think that one was really good and helpful. But yeah, I mean, Knowing God, honestly, would probably be towards the top for sure.
Yes, for sure. And several years ago, there was a free PDF version online. So you can search that up.
Wow.
It was several years ago, so... We'll see if it's still there, but
put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes. We don't have show notes.
What? Come on. Is this even a real podcast?
Well, I think it's a real podcast when you update it.
Okay. See, I knew. I thought you were going to start off with this, actually. So
the Running Deep podcast.
Yeah, you've been
is a
given
real podcast.
For context, Sarah's been giving me garbage about how guff's not a word. So has been heckling me about, well, we have a Candeo Equipping podcast, and all you do is
did
put
you
up
know
the
we
audio.
Have a Candeo Equipping podcast?
Okay, yeah. Okay. And all we do is we put up the audio from our equipping classes. That doesn't count. Running Deep's the real thing. I'm like, okay, fine. Fine.
Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, well, thank you for joining me in this.
Thanks.
Truly, thank you. This has been fun, and hopefully this was helpful to just whet your appetite on studying more about who God is and the foundations of our faith. And we will continue this conversation next month.
One quick note here at the end is you're going to edit this out. You're going to, I know it. One quick note, you talk about resources. So we did a Foundations of Our Faith class a couple years ago.
Yes.
The first session is on God, and it's kind of an intro to theology, and then a little bit more about who God is, the triune nature of God, who is the Father, who is the Son, who is the Holy Spirit. And so that's in the Candeo resources section on the website. The audio and the video to that class is up there too. So if you're interested more on specifically who God is, session one.
Yeah.
But there's other sessions you can see as well. So
it's a great equipping class. And I've had several people ask me this lately, so I'm not quite sure how they're not finding it. But if you go to the website, there's a tab on the top that says, is it media or resources?
It's media. Or resources. I can't remember which one. It's one of those.
And then you do the drop down of it. Don't click it because it'll take you straight to the live stream.
Yeah.
I'm making this very simple.
I love how you're explaining how to use the internet.
Go down the drop down and then you'll see equipping and podcasts.
Yep.
And click that and it'll have all of our equipping classes we have recorded. So
yeah. And summits and basically everything we've recorded.
Yeah, summits are on there. Yep. So there you go. So okay. Well, thank you for joining me. And we'll see you all next month.
Thanks.